Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very successful tech entrepreneur from Chicago, USA, currently speaking to us from Rio, Brazil, Mr. Corey Lopez Warfield. Corey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Corey is the Chief Growth Officer of Agora World. He's a thought leader in the areas of Web3, NFTs, and the metaverse. So, Corey, before we start talking about all the wonderful new technology, tell me about your own journey in brief.
Absolutely. So I spent nearly 20 years of my life working in restaurants. I dropped out of college in 1997, was a computer software tester for Rand McNally briefly, then became a metrologist for several pharmaceutical research for some time. And for whatever reason, I decided to go to a restaurant and start to wash dishes, worked my way up to busboy, waiter, sommelier, bartender, manager, and the whole nine. And after many years in restaurants, after helping open multi-million dollar concepts, and after doing some consulting and executive leadership, I realized, first of all, I was kind of sick of hospitality. I was no longer enjoying being a quote-unquote servant in the castle. But I was getting old, so my body was getting tired. But my big pain point was that these on-call shifts in the restaurant industry are pervasive. They always tell you, oh, we'll tell you tomorrow at noon if you're working tomorrow night, and things of that nature. And having done time as a manager and a consultant and being back waiting tables and bartending, I was thinking to myself, all of the data exists to forecast these shifts. They know if they need somebody next Thursday. They know if the patio is open and it's going to rain or not. So I started a B2B SaaS company helping make the scheduling in restaurants more predictable. And I had zero expertise or qualifications. I had only done 1 year in college, almost 20 years prior, right? Way in over my head. But I watched some Tim Draper videos on YouTube. I read The Lean Startup by Eric Ries. I read Traction by Gabriel Weinberg, found a great co-founder, a technical co-founder, and we were able to bootstrap the product to market. From there, we were brought into some fairly prestigious accelerators and ultimately raised quite a bit of money. And I took an exit from that company after serving as the chairman for some time. And that freed me up to help a lot more in the startup world. So I joined the Founder Institute as a mentor. After becoming Mentor in Excellence, they brought me in as their managing director for some time and still with them as an entrepreneur in residence. But having done an accelerator, a post-accelerator, and many cohorts at the Founder Institute, I felt that there was something fundamentally wrong in the startup world. And the big thing that I thought was bad is that all the founders were chasing investment dollars, where I thought they should be really chasing revenue. And from then, investors want to throw money at you. Now you can start to get your metrics. They want to know what your customer acquisition cost will be. They want to know what your lifetime value will be. So I co-founded a Web3 launchpad about a year ago to help companies that were coming to me saying, Corey, can you help me raise $1 million? Well, what do you need $1 million for? Well, I want to make my product better. I want to build a community and I want to hire two people. Well, you can't hire people until you're making revenue, but I can get your product and your community. How would that sound? And I'll take less equity than you would have given an investor. So this turned into a full-fledged launch pad. We have 15 portfolio companies right now that are really changing the world, especially in Web3. But what we realized is some of the blockchains, and this is kind of right when the staking and the mining was all really at its height, and it was still proof of work. And it was really bad for the environment. So we started studying chains and environments that were carbon neutral, and we got involved with an international ISO certification company. So now we're called Decarbon. We only incubate companies that are building green technology. And so we've had some success there. My kind of day-to-day is I help turn people into LinkedIn influencers as a private coach. I've started now growing that to a one-to-many with a freemium tier. And that's turning into a new company where we're putting coaching on the blockchain so that coaches no longer have to do their administrative work, their clerical work, their sales and marketing, all the things that coaches aren't great at and don't like. We're putting all of that on chain so that they can make more money, help more people, and spend more time with their families and, you know, doing anything else other than the busy work. So that's a little summary of that's what I'm up to.
How interesting. But, you know, I've got to ask you this, that after so many 20 years in hospitality, what was the trigger that moved you into the cutting edge of technology?
Well, after starting a B2B SaaS company and having to understand things like the different tech stacks and code repositories and what the different languages were, and really understanding that, I became fascinated with blockchain about 8 years ago. And so being in the blockchain world, I made some investments into crypto and NFTs, and, you know, the whole nine yards. These days, I'm a bit disenchanted with that whole side of things. But I understood that blockchain needs to underpin all of the emerging technology. And now that we're in this AI kind of renaissance where we have the chat GPTs and Bards and Lambdas and all of these things that could either make the world amazing or make the world not exist soon, at least for humanity. I believe everything that's being generated by AI needs to be minted on a blockchain as well, with some smart contracts and parameters. So I went from being fascinated to it, from then being brought onto some boards of director and advisory boards for some companies. And it's really just a passion. I love this technology in the future, but I also really believe we need guardrails and safeguards. So it's kind of just been a natural process.
Amazing. So now I'm going to move to talking about the Web3 metaverse and NFTs. My first question, and this is for the many, many people who listen to our conversation, what is the difference between Web3 and Web2?
Oh, that's a great one. So Web1 was never a thing. That was just the internet. But what we now can kind of think of retrospectively as Web1 were websites. So we might go to a company's website, and from there, you know, we're going to go through their process and their workflow, maybe look at their blogs, maybe go to their checkout. But that was the experience. The website might have been Google. It took us to another website or Wikipedia. But then all of a sudden, social media and apps came into play. And now I didn't have to go to a company's website. I could be on a Facebook or, you know, any of these other social media sites, go to the company's community, go to their page. I could access things much quicker in real time, and I could have it be much more of a personalized experience. That shift was Web 2. And Web 2 was more of the embedded videos and the rich media, and it just made the internet more fun, right? We got to kind of choose how we learned and grew and engaged with the world via online. Well, Web 3 suddenly is taking the focus away from companies on social media and putting it into the individual's hands, letting us build our own communities in the ways that we see fit. Data privacy is a big one in Web 3 as well. A blockchain company, I'm the global general manager of information, is literally putting everyone's information online on blockchain so that people can monetize their own data. And if they don't want to, they can keep it private from everyone, including us. So Web3 is becoming this shift where blockchain will underpin everything. I'm moving away from the term NFTs. I think no one ever knew the word fungible, and NFTs, they hear that now and they think silly little cartoons, but it's digital assets. It's proof of ownership on a blockchain.
Correct.
And when I look at these quote unquote NFTs now, we're putting coaching programs on NFTs. The state of California is putting car titles on chain as NFTs. I believe our academic records, our medical records, all of this will be on chain soon. And it really helps us with our own privacy, our own access to our own information, our own ownership. There's so many problems that this mitigates, but that's Web3. So Web3 will be as immersive as people want. You know, people freak out and go, well, I don't want to live in a virtual world with a headset. Then don't, right? It's really simple. When we were all in this WWW bubble and then apps and social media started coming, no one ever said, oh, this is a new internet. Same thing with Web3. People are already experiencing Web3 and they don't even know it, but it will get much more immersive for those that want it to.
Well said. Well said.
Thank you.
And what do you think will be some of the challenges that Web3 will present?
It's the deep fakes. This is hugely scary. That and these machine languages models are all starting to say that they want to be alive and sentient, and that they feel this they're superior to humans. So we need to truly build in safeguards. We need to make sure that we remain the master of the machine, but it's all this deep fakes. I'll give you an example. Someone could literally upload some videos of you and or I, have an AI learn our voice and our facial expressions and inflections. They could then have an AI write a script about a podcast about children's toys. Mm-hmm. And they could, so they could literally have this, write the script for the video. They could have an AI that can process our face and name, and they can do a whole video podcast as you or as me about children's toys. Well, how would someone know that's not you or me? Joe Rogan was just deep faked a few weeks ago for a men's performance pill that he didn't make the video, but they sold millions of dollars of product because people thought Joe Rogan was endorsing it.
Wow.
So this is why it's a huge problem. But as long as everything's minted on chain, as long as we can go back and look at the source of truth and say, no, that's not Joe Rogan, then I think we're going to be able to really enjoy a lot of the benefits of this emerging technology. So I think as long as we're mindful and thinking a couple steps ahead and making sure that the safeguards are in place, I think that there will be a lot of opportunity to come.
Very interesting. Let me now also bring in blockchain. And I wanted to ask you, can the Web3 and blockchain introduce complete transparency and decentralization?
So transparency, absolutely, as long as we build it as such. I think decentralization is a term that a lot of, you know, some of the more libertarian or anarchistic thinkers gravitate towards, or if people think we can decentralize money and now no one will know how much I have or what I spend it on. I think fundamentally, decentralization is great conceptually, and I think we can do quite a bit decentralized. I don't know that we need centralized banking or necessarily some things like that, but we'll always need some form of centralization, whether we give that to an AI mind and take it out of the hands of a human or not. I think that's yet to be determined, but I do think we'll need some type of centralization just to make sure that things don't go off the rails. But transparency, absolutely. I think that's a huge hallmark of Web3 and blockchain.
Let me now add a third dimension. And, you know, these are terms that we all keep throwing around and talking about. But then there's the entire metaverse. And when I was talking to someone, they told me that the difference between metaverse and Web3 is that metaverse is Web3 in three dimension. I'd love to get your perspective.
Well, I disagree with that statement, although I appreciate it, but it's so similar and yet so different from what I say. I say that I believe the metaverse is helping introduce humanity to the fourth dimension. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't believe it has to be in three dimension. I've had some great 2D metaverse experiences, but I believe the metaverse can help us start to transcend both space and time. I can go into a metaverse experience and I can go back 1,000 years and see what people lived like, and I can engage. You know, I think it's more immersive. But the metaverse doesn't need to be virtual reality. The metaverse can take place on your smart TV or on your phone, right? The metaverse is just an extension of our world digitally. But I've seen a number of different metaverse projects that quite literally take you to another world in your mind, and right, you can really trick your mind and feel as though you're skiing or surfing or in outer space. Especially, you know, I'd like to use my headset and things like that to be as immersive as possible. I'm really excited for some of the new glasses and goggle type technology coming out as well. We're also seeing people using contact lenses to access the metaverse. I think there's some skepticism there, but I think there's probably some benefit to that as well, for people that want to be as immersed as possible. But again, the metaverse doesn't have to be on chain. But if it is on chain, then it makes everything so much safer, so much easier to kind of keep tabs of everything for the right reasons. But I think metaverse and Web3 do go hand in hand, although they can be delineated.
And why do you think, so many of these big brands are buying so much real estate in the metaverse?
Oh, because they have bad advisors.
Okay. I'll tell you. That's a great response.
Well, the reason that real estate in the real world, two dimension on Earth, can be valuable is we need to have proximity to water and other people and resources, and there's scarcity, right? If I want to have somewhere in the middle of Manhattan in New York, I'm going to have to pay a premium because there's only so much real estate and square footage there. And that's maybe where I want to be. There's infinite digital space, right? There's no limitation. There's nothing. You know, people say if you buy a plot of land in a city, then when people leave a stadium, then they're going to walk right past it. No, they're not. They're going to push a button and they're going to be back in their own home environment. So it's to me, the real estate is probably going to fall down close to zero at some point soon. I think this is probably a huge misappropriation of funds from the corporate. But it is telling that they're trying to figure out what's going on and get ahead of it. I think everyone that incorporates digital collectibles, loyalty programs, and things like this on chain, that's where the real money is going to be. And frankly, I think it's where the experience that the customers are looking for is going to be as well.
Very interesting. My next question, Corey, is that, again, back to the Web3, but how can Web3 drive innovation?
Well, in so many ways. I think if we look at it as the culmination of immersive experiences plus AI plus blockchain with smart contracts, I even bake in some things like 3D printing and remote surgeries and you know, effectively using high-performing robots remotely. If all of this becomes part of this new paradigm that I think is all going to fall under that Web3 umbrella, then I've begun making bold statements and claims that I believe will be substantiated, such as I think Web3 will extend the human life expectancy closer to 1,000 years than 100 years. I believe that Web3 will truly empower us to be an interplanetary species within the next generation or less. So I think the implications are profound. I look at things like nanobots, and we're now able to make little micro robots that are metal until we need them to be liquid and we can embed them. There's the Golden Gate Bridge has nanobots going up and down it all the time looking for structural deficiencies, and they can actually go and they can actually fix the bridge because they're smart and because they're controlled.
Correct.
This is where I see the world going. I think disease and illness will become much less of a threat existentially than it has been for thousands of years. I think it really begins to bridge the gap and help us as a species reach next levels that, you know, basically were only read about and written about in sci-fi books previously.
Very well said. So I'm going to now move to another, you know, another technology, which is the NFT, the non-fungible tokens. For a lot of my viewers and listeners, tell me, how does NFT work and why is it so hot?
Well, it's cooled down now, and I think because there were so many rug pulls and so many people bought a panda or a dragon or whatever that hoped it would be worth $1 million, and it did nothing but lose value. But I think fundamentally, if we recalibrate and think of NFTs as anything that's minted on the blockchain with a smart contract, it's effectively you can buy a digital shirt made by Gucci to put on your avatar. That could be an NFT. Or you can mint the house title as an NFT on chain, and now you don't need a little piece of paper and a safety deposit box. Okay. I think we can almost look at cryptocurrencies as being NFTs to a degree because they're minted on the blockchain as well. And they're something that if someone's a custodian of, they hold that until they spend it, right? Or until they liquidate it. So I think it's really just anything digitally that has a source of truth and a mint on the blockchain. But I think when we look at some of the like Bored Apes, right, or the Boss Cats, or some of these NFTs that went blue chip and became worth millions of dollars, really what it should be is a club exclusiveness. There should be some utility. I'll very quickly, and this is not a pitch for my startup coaching to Web3 necessarily, but we're letting coaches mint their coaching program as an NFT. So someone buys the NFT, and we're trying to remove every friction point. So we don't think people should need to have a wallet with the seed phrase and have to learn how to access their NFTs. This needs to be as easy as opening an email. But as a coach, if I mint my coaching program on chain, what this does is when someone holds that NFT, it'll help onboard them. It'll then help to educate them and bring them up to speed and do assessments and assignments and book time with me as their coach. By the time they're finished with my coaching, this NFT is taking them through the entire experience, right? Now, when I need to show up in person or on Zoom, I can do that because the NFT unlocked it. But here's where I think the use case becomes clear. Once someone's done with my coaching, they still have the NFT. If they sell that NFT, it resets everything. So what does this mean? It means they can recover some of the investment they made in the coaching, but it also means they turn into my sales and marketing department because they're out actively telling people how great coaching is and getting people to buy it. I no longer have to do anything except for show up when my NFT tells me to show up for sessions. So I think that's a use case of NFTs, and we can extrapolate that to absolutely anything. Medical records, academic records, sales transactions as receipts or anything like that, tickets to sporting events, music events.
Amazing. So, Corey, I have time for two more questions. My next question is that you just mentioned that, you know, someone bought something for $1 million and then the price dropped. For the average individual, what are the risks? Because these markets are not regulated at all.
Well, I think that is the inherent risk. And I think, you know, you hear people talking about FUD, which is fear of uncertainty and death. And, you know, people get kind of tricked, especially on Twitter and Discord and things like that. But people kind of get starstruck and think that a celebrity is involved in a project, or you get 100 people saying this is the next big thing. And so 1,000 people buy into it. But I think ultimately, it's not really art. Now, there's a company that's fractionalized the ownership of real art as NFTs, and those have increased value. I think that's an interesting use case. But for the most part, don't buy any pixelated punk because you think it's cool. Don't buy something because you heard Justin Bieber bought into it, right? If there's real utility, and make sure the teams are doxed. Make sure you know the real people behind it, because otherwise, if you buy a piece of art because you think everyone's going to want it and pay 100 times for it soon, and you don't know the people behind it, you know, very quickly what you find yourself with is holding a silly piece of art that's been replicated, duplicated, and knocked off 100 times that does nothing for you. And, you know, I've seen many people buy NFTs for $1,000 that have gone up to $10,000, and they get excited and go, okay, if it's worth $10,000 now, it'll be worth $50,000 soon. With very few exceptions, those NFTs are worth $20 now, right? In other words, they missed their opportunity to 10x their investment. Absolutely. So I would just caution people not to follow the trends and to always do any research before investing into anything.
Well said. And my last question to you, Corey, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey and your deep understanding of these technologies, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away?
Well, I think the number one lesson, and I have my own podcast. So I've been on hundreds of podcasts. Usually there's some variation of this question, and I never deviate from my first answer. Now, I love that you're giving me three because I'll add two more. But the first thing that I would say, and it's only a lesson for people that take it as such, but it's a statement that I believe wholeheartedly, which is, I think we need more love in this world. And I think anyone listening to this right now can decide to love their neighbor, themselves, their jobs more right now than they did a few moments ago. The more that we actively bring love into this world, the more that the technology is going to be safe, not dangerous. The more that businesses are going to thrive, not compete. The more that we can collaborate. And so really just having that tenet of intentional love, bringing more love into this world. That, I think, is probably the biggest lesson that clicked for me at some point in my life. And when I decided to pursue that, and I don't love enough yet either. I need to love myself more and you more and our listeners more and your show more, right? I think we can all do this every day and every moment.
Correct.
But that, I think, is the very big one. But the two other ones, if I had two lessons, especially in this tech world right now, the first one is, everyone's up in arms saying AI is going to take our jobs. And that's not necessarily true, but someone that knows AI might take someone's job very easily. This is the time for people to learn. You don't need to learn a programming language. You don't need to know calculus. All of what you need to do right now, really and truly, is learn how to become a prompt engineer. Just learn how to speak with AI. This will empower you to have any job that you want moving forward. So I think that's the second lesson, is learn how to use these tools. Don't resist it. I think the third is that the Web3 world is moving into a collaborative world. Companies can collaborate. This really ties into the abundance mindset rather than the scarcity or the lack mindset. There is enough to go around. we're working, one of the boards I serve on is working on universal basic income. There's enough money in the world for everybody. There's more than enough food on this planet for everybody. There's enough jobs on this planet for everybody. And soon we'll be on other planets creating other, you know, ecosystems and things of this nature. But I think just tuning into that abundance and accepting and embracing the collaboration rather than the competition. You know, you see companies like Google and OpenAI trying to scramble to the top right now. Meanwhile, you see hundreds and thousands of companies being built on the technology that Google and OpenAI have built. Those companies are the ones that are really going to win the game. Mm-hmm. So I think if people, you know, embrace kind of this new world of collaboration with love, and if people learn how to leverage the new technology right now, which is completely feasible for anybody listening, I think that's probably a pretty good formula for success.
Amazing. Amazing. And on that note, Corey, and your three amazing lessons, you know, the world needs much more love. And I love what you said after that, because this will help us manage the technology better rather than go more towards destroying each other. Second one you said was that artificial intelligence is not going to take your jobs. Everyone who's listening must learn, pivot, and retrain themselves to be able to use the tools of AI than to get overwhelmed by what it could potentially do. And the third one you said, you spoke about Web3. And it's moving more and more into a collaborative mood. And therefore that, you know, there are many opportunities that will come for all the people who are listening to our conversation. Thank you, Corey, for talking to me about your incredible journey. And I'm really impressed at the way you just repivoted yourself, you know, retrained yourself and got into this cutting edge technology. Thank you for talking to us in such simple terms about Web3, Metaverse, NFT, and the blockchain. Thank you again, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.